This podcast may contain disturbing content for some listeners. It's intended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
I thought what we would do related to sort of the summer ending stuff.
Well, first we should talk about like how much of a crappy summer it was.
Why was it a crappy summer?
I have to tell you, so on June 15th, which I guess that's a little bit before summer, right? Because summer officially starts on June 21st or something like
right.
that. Okay, so on June 15th, Summer Wells went missing. In Tennessee.
Right.
And it just so happens that that day I also picked up my newest dog edition. So it was a big day. But Sarah, as you know, every time we look at my dog, I think about how I got that dog the day that Summer went missing. And she occupied my entire summer. And she's still missing.
Yeah, there were several missing kids this summer that haven't been found that have stuck out in my head.
Right, and I guess because her name is Summer, but yeah, Xavier Harrelson is still missing, Ryan Larson is still missing, and Summer Wells is still missing.
Yeah, those are the main ones I followed.
And forever and ever, that's going to be my 2001 summer. I'm 2021 summer.
I was going to say, you're 20 years off there.
Yeah, no kidding.
We were, so we were able to cover Israel Keyes this summer. Like, it's interesting because every time I go back and take a stab at that case, I learn something different. Some of the stuff that I went through this summer and some of the things that I discovered about that case was, I believe the FBI has a list, and that's why some of those case files are not available to us. But I think that we covered some of the names that are probably on that list if they've been doing their homework. I do think coming up with the idea of looking at the mom and pop hotels and motels is probably the best thing that came out of the summer. That and realizing that the comparison searches as they were released by the FBI were useless.
Right. And I was actually thinking about not being able to communicate and use my words properly. And I think this is a very good example of the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Because and of course you and I have a unique working relationship, but it wouldn't work. Other people would just feel like I'm never talking to her again, but I'll be like, with the Namus list, the Namus findings on Israel Keyes' computer, I have said, from pretty much the beginning, like it's nothing. Right. But I never found a way to like articulate it beyond me saying like, it's nothing. And you should just like go along with me because I know what I'm talking about. Right.
Right.
You had to like work your way through it. And I hate that. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be like, I know everything because I don't. But I didn't know like how, I didn't know why my brain said it was nothing. I didn't know how to convey it was nothing or prove it was nothing. I still haven't really. I mean, I've proven it to myself, and I think that you've proven it to yourself. I was listening to the show, and I was just thinking about like how that perfectly illustrates what I'm talking about, how I can really come across as harsh because I just don't know how to say like it was completely pointless to be looking into the name of search.
Oh, I don't think it was pointless to look in. I mean, so there's two sides of that for me. One, it's got to be run down because that's just how it goes. But
I wish it was something to latch onto. Yes.
I wish, that's the problem is it becomes something to latch onto. That's exactly what the problem is because you're latching onto it and you're wasting time.
Right. And you're right. It wasn't pointless. We showcased like quite a number of cases. Part of our show has been, you know, obviously we're talking about the victims of an elusive, confessed but not convicted serial killer, but we did it in a way that we've tried to bring light to lots of cases that normally wouldn't have any sort of light on them at all.
Right. And there are also cases that weren't even missing persons cases yet when we started covering them that were suddenly being dumped into NamUs. And I had seen some of those names on like individual state listings, but when I went to cross-reference them and do open records requests and just other things to sort of verify, I try and verify in at least three places. Typically, I only get two, but if I can do a third one, meaning like a local source or something, even if it's just a newspaper mention, to verify these people are still missing, that's very complicated to do when you're looking at a time period that far back. You can't always just call up and say, is this person still missing? Because honestly, sometimes they'll be, like, runaways are written off. People who are thought to have started a new life are written off, and they don't always carry over or forward with the momentum of actual investigation. Like, there might have been something done when the case was opened or when someone requested a welfare check or whatever, but sometimes they can just be missing persons reports.
Going through the motion, right.
Right. So we're kind of segueing from that, from summer, into like trying to figure out what we want to do for season three. We've kicked some ideas around. We've recorded some test episodes. We've looked at like how we might want to proceed. I don't even know when our seasons really end and when they begin. Typically,
it's whenever we've said everything we're going to say for the moment.
Yeah, so
and we'll swing back around to it. Don't worry.
So sometime in the spring, we'll launch a season three, and until then, the episodes are not necessarily related to those particular topics.
As we're sort of segueing here, I'm going to take the opportunity to pick your brain about this. So we've got something we're going to talk about today, and I'm curious to know why we're going to talk about it today. Like, what happened to bring it to your attention?
So you had brought up a couple of cases. Like, I was looking at some cases that we were maybe going to cover. We've recorded some on. You had brought up the Taco Bell strangler, and I had started digging into him. And the main reason was because I found like four victims that I think are his that aren't attributed to him during the time frame that it would have been his.
The Taco Bell strangler?
Yeah, the Taco Bell strangler. Okay. So I started looking for victims there. I was using the same stuff that we've talked about with other cases. I was looking for people who are just now going into like NamUs or the SBI database for North Carolina, because that guy was out active in North Carolina, South Carolina, like right on the border around Charlotte.
I don't know why I sent him to you.
Why?
Because after like looking through, I believe it's just the male murderers on, I believe it was either like Wiki or Murderpedia. He actually is one of the killers that has the most killers and may actually be a serial killer. Like in,
the most killings.
I'm sorry. What did I say? The most victims.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because there's not a whole lot of serial killers in, I believe I was looking at the males in North Carolina, and I don't exactly know how I ended up there, but I ended up. And I was trying to see, because I've been looking through different places and seeing like, okay, what is a serial killer? What is portrayed as a serial killer? And because I feel like there's some pretty huge hurdles between what actually is a serial killer and someone being called a serial killer. And in fact, I searched for specifically serial killers, and I just got murderers. So a lot of the terms overlap one another, but they're completely different things in my mind. But I was looking through a list of that someone has compiled convicted murderers, and it had to have been North Carolina or maybe South Carolina. You said he was in both.
Yeah.
And he had, so most of the people on the list were not serial killers. Most of them with high numbers of victims had blown themselves up with a bomb, which is weird. But they were old cases, like, and it involved planes and, like, randomly landing in North Carolina. But this guy had, like, the most potential victims or maybe convicted victims. I'm not even sure at this point. But And I was just surprised. I know it's not all-inclusive data, but it's not a whole lot of them.
Well, so you and I had like an interesting take on Henry Lucas and Honest Tool. I was looking at like the Highway Killer, the Trucker Killer Initiative, the Interstate Killers. I was going through what the FBI had done there, and like there's work we've already done related to that that's going to come up, but I had to go back and take a look at some of the things that you were pointing out, which is like sometimes they are what we call Henry Lucasing these situations, and we were curious if we could find any ones that were for sure like that, meaning they're closing cases on the backs of a killer that weren't necessarily based on evidence. It was just based on some kind of confession, or based on them lumping it into a plea deal where they say, oh, you killed these four people. And he says, no, I only killed the one. And then they would say, but if you take these other three, we'll take death penalty off the table. Just weird things like that I've sort of been looking at.
Right. And this dynamic you're talking about, it's a very real thing. And it intrigues me a lot. And I always have opinions that may not be right. And I know we butt heads on it, but, and so this is sort of one of those types of cases, that you brought up for us to talk about today. And
yeah.
At first I was really confused because, so it made the news recently, right?
So this comes up every couple of years. About 4 or 5 years ago, somebody like put this out on the internet. And I actually remember listening to this. I can tell you exactly where it was
from.
It's
from 1997, correct?
Yeah, this is from 1997. It's from the summer of 1997. I don't remember exactly when in the summer, because one report I read said that it was about now in 1997. So it was like, you know, mid to late August. But there's a reference in it. And I'm going to play this for the audience to hear, but there's a reference in it to a Batman movie. And I remember that summer Batman came out, but Batman came out in June. And I know this because like I was back then, you know, I was in line for it. And I was actually in Florida when I heard this. This was a summer that I was listening to. This is like a big nationally syndicated radio show. But then when I thought about it, I can't remember if I was listening to this show on like a replay of some kind or if I was listening to the show live as it happened.
So Batman came out in June, but it was my impression he was saying I would miss the next Batman.
Yeah, the next Batman movie. So it may be that it was in August because I would have been finishing up an internship. That's what I'm saying. I know where I was when I heard it, but I was there in June and I was also there in August. Because I was working out a particular way where it was late at night and this was the radio show that I listened to when that happened. But a lot of times I was listening to, I don't know if people even remember these. I used to record part of the show on a tape. I would record like 2 hours of the show on a little cassette tape that went into
effort.
I had a little box like that I kept and I would record radio shows on it because the way I would do it is play my bedside radio and I would hit record when I left in the morning. So I'd have 2 hours of that show. So when I got home, cause like the days were like long, but I wasn't home where I could listen to it. And there was this whole thing going on in my car at the time and I was having to take public transportation. So I didn't have any way to listen to the show. It would record and then it would like, I guess 2 hours or whatever on the tapes that I had, it would stop. But when I got home in the evening, I would take that tape and I would go and work out at like the clubhouse at the apartment complex that I lived in. Mm-hmm. And I would listen back to the tape and this was on that tape. So that's when I listened to this, but that could have happened in June, July, or August of 1997. Cause I did it for pretty consistently did it for like 8 to 10 weeks. I was doing that every day. And so I had heard this before, listened to it before. I actually thought it was a bit. I thought this was like a.
You're the only one.
I thought this was a bit that they like a. I don't want to say like a sketch because that's not exactly what they did for the show, but similar to a sketch. You know, this is sort of a bombastic. This is literally one of the like biggest shock jocks. So it was sort of a bombastic show to begin with, and a lot of what they did seemed, you know, just for ratings purposes, which clearly paid off because, later on it becomes the anchor of SiriusXM, this show does. And we have SiriusXM now because my wife listens to him. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to play a clip from summer of 1997 that has resurfaced, like Meg was saying, in the media, the news, sort of. And it pops up every so often since it's come out. I think it came out maybe 5 or 6 years ago. It could have been a little longer as far as people remembering it and like putting it on the internet. Because for a long time, I couldn't find it. I actually have the cassette tape that had this on it because I remember for the rest of that summer, I didn't use that tape. I put it in my car and I would, you know, pop it in and I listened to it a couple of times and I decided it was a bit. It was a really interesting bit. So my thing has always been killers. Your thing is largely missing persons, although you come into true crime with me to do the killer part because, you know, there are missing persons that are associated with
right.
killers.
It's missing persons that aren't missing on their own behalf is what I'm, which typically would involve, you know, an accident or something or being killed. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you go through a lot of things related to missing persons, though. So I don't want to sell that short because, like, you will go
look. Yeah, I don't want to give, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on murderers just for the sake of it. Like, really.
Yeah, like, your thing is really unidentified remains and missing people going home.
Like, right, being identified, having their identities given back to them.
So what's interesting about this clip I'm about to play is it's from, now I wasn't there at the time. I wasn't in this area at the time that he's talking about. But later on, like 20 some years later, I end up working on like a pretty big, interesting case that we won't ever be able to cover here because of like all the non-disclosures from this area. And it had a component in the 80s and it had a component in the 2000s for someone who was on the podcast. His voice is on the podcast in one of the early episodes talking about talking to killers. So I'm going to play that now and let the audience listen to it. It's a long clip. It's like 16 minutes and change. So I'm going to play that now.
I got a guy on the phone who claims he's been killing prostitutes and he's wondering why he's doing it.
Oh, God.
So maybe he thinks I have an answer. Is this Ed? Ed?
No, this isn't Ed.
Oh. You haven't killed any prostitutes?
No, I never said my name was Ed.
Oh.
Sorry.
That's okay.
What name do you use?
You can call me Clay.
Clay?
Clay?
Yes, Clay. Okay, Clay. So what happened? How many prostitutes have you killed?
12.
And you're wondering why you do it?
I have a pretty good idea.
Why? Did your mom beat you? Did your mom spank you?
Was your mom a prostitute?
No. Actually, nothing like that.
What is it then?
I think I just do it for the sense of the power.
Right. Do you have sex with them first?
Yes, and...
And then what, you strangle them?
Once.
How else did you kill them?
Well, a few times, actually most times with a hammer.
And where do you do this primarily?
I've done it twice in a parking garage, and the rest of the times on the side of the road.
And, in the New Orleans area?
Yes.
Hmm.
Sure.
I mean, what do you beat them to death with a hammer?
That usually only takes once, and...
Dude, you gotta have a lot of anger in you.
Yes.
Well, why do you need to feel so powerful?
You've got some issue with women, but, like, some shrink's got to look into it. You've got to get right in your mind or just kill yourself if you kill 15 people. And that means you're heartless. Did you used to kill small animals?
No, I've killed a rat.
Yeah. See, a lot of guys start out killing kittens for some reason.
Yeah, they kill something before they start with humans.
If my kid would kill a kitten or something cute, I'd probably just, you know, figure, well, this is it. They're going to be serial killers.
Kill them.
Dude, you're a serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And you get away with it, I guess, because they're hookers, and so far nobody's... What?
Is this Howard?
Yeah. Hello? Hello?
I didn't know this was Howard.
Yeah,
yeah,
Howard.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've never killed a kitten.
Really?
Never killed any small animals except a rat?
Yeah, rat's okay.
Well...
Rats, I don't mind you killing.
I had to kill.
The rat?
Yeah.
Stepped on his head, I bet.
We had a big flood. couple of years ago, and it's not actually a rat, it's called a nutria rat. And I clubbed it to death. It got in the kitchen at my work.
So how old were you when you killed your first woman?
16.
And you must be a powerful kind of guy, big guy.
I wasn't then.
Right. And when you killed your first one, did you go in there knowing you were going to kill her, or it just sort of happened?
I knew I really had it planned out. You know, I wanted to do the whole sending clues.
Right.
Oh yeah, you and
baffle people, but it turned out no one noticed for a long time.
Right. Like you killed her on the side of the road?
Her, that was the parking garage.
Okay. And then what did you do with the body? You dumped that somewhere?
Yeah, actually. I think she's probably one of the ones that they found.
Yeah.
But let me ask you, so you were sending clues that you were going to do this?
No, I was
doing
that.
He was going to leave a note for the newspapers and, you know.
But you decided not to.
He didn't want to be famous or draw attention to himself. But my problem is...
That's what I wanted to do, but...
Oh, but you did, but no one noticed the clues.
I never sent the clues. I never left anything. You know, I wanted to have my own little signature.
Right.
I wanted a thumb paint with their thumbs.
Oh, really?
What do you want to do?
Thumb paint with their thumbs.
Thumb paint what, though?
I don't know.
Oh, anything. It was in a comic book a couple of years ago. It just seemed like a good idea.
Like you take a girl you kill, you dip her thumbs in paint, and then you do like a thumb painting?
Yes.
On a piece of paper?
Yeah.
Now, after you kill somebody, do you play with the body?
Actually, the closest I've ever done to that is I always make sure I pay them and I make sure they keep their money.
Oh, really?
When they're still alive, but with one of them, I did put the money in a compromising place.
I see.
But that was this one. You know, it had a penis.
Oh,
it was a guy.
Yeah, I didn't know at first.
So do you think the reason you're so angry is because you were abused or something?
No, I wasn't abused, Howard.
Hmm. Where's your family?
You got a wife?
I mean, you got a mom, a dad, a wife, children? You got any of that?
I've got a couple of kids, but
no wife.
Not married to the mother.
Mm-hmm. You're a white guy?
Yeah, Howard, that's pretty funny because the only suspect they had when they started finding the bodies was a black police officer. Turns out one of them was associated with them.
Oh, really?
Are you on drugs?
I've done acid a few times.
Mm. So
not, but nothing heavy.
So after you killed the first 16-year-old, you finished.
I was 16.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
He was.
All right. So you finished with your sexual gratification, and then you.
Not always, no.
Not always. You don't even want to get laid sometimes.
No, I just.
You just want to kill.
I'm just bored.
Right.
But does the killing sexually satisfy you in some way?
I can't believe that means
I've beaten off thinking about it later.
Yeah?
What are you saying?
That's about it.
He's pleasured himself thinking about it later.
Oh, he has. Okay. Now, how far apart are these murders? Like, do you murder and then, like, you feel satisfied for a while?
I don't even understand why I do it, Howard. I don't know if I ever get any satisfaction.
But how often?
The closest to gather anywhere was the same night.
Really?
You killed two people in the same night?
Yeah, but I went to Mississippi for the second one.
So there's no pattern to how many weeks or days between murders?
No.
Are these mostly white chicks or black chicks?
A fair number of them have been black. The transvestite was black.
Do you get some racial motivation here?
No, Howard. They were just, let's just say a Jimmy Swagger town.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Swagger town.
That's pretty much the area around here where the prostitutes all hang out.
I see.
And it's just whoever comes up to you. You don't pick a certain type?
I don't even approach them. I wait for them to approach me, Robin.
It's like they're asking for it.
Do you ever, like, look into their eyes and go, you know, gee, these people were just children at one point, and maybe they just had a tough life?
I've let a couple go.
You have? Like, what happened? You're in the middle of killing them, and then what do they say? Why would you let one go and kill the other?
There was this one.
Go ahead.
I think she was probably really new to it.
Yeah.
There was just something about her. Maybe she reminded me of my ex-fiance, but...
Right. You somehow relate...
More of an innocent quality.
You somehow felt bad for her.
Yeah.
Hmm.
and you have a fiancé, so are you planning to get married?
No.
He had one.
Oh, he had one.
No, no. If I wouldn't be a suspect, believe me, she'd...
Let me ask you, why'd you let me... Did you start to kill her, and then, like you said, forget it? Or you just never even...
Not even.
You just had sex with her, and then you let her go?
I didn't even have sex with her, Howard.
Hmm. Well, that's weird. Now, that's weird.
And you just really felt sorry for her.
I don't know what she was doing, but...
Are you a big fat mess?
But she got off lucky.
Are you a big fat mess, or are you, like, a fairly good-looking guy?
I'm not a big fat mess. I wouldn't call myself good-looking. I don't know what I'd call myself, Howard.
Right. You have a decent job and all that stuff?
Sounds like a bright guy.
Not decent like you have.
Yeah, well, we got ridiculous jobs. I don't even know how to call this a job. You know what I mean? This is not a normal job.
Made up job.
Yeah, this is a job that's totally useless. You know what I mean? Like, nobody really needs it.
Damn.
To me, a job is like something like, you know, a UPS driver is
a job.
Right.
Not now.
Thank you, Ed.
Maybe this is a UPS driver.
Ed laughs, but he has no job either. All right, this is always weird.
Work every day and stuff like that.
This is always weird, but I'm bringing, at least we can sort of get into the mind of a guy who serial kills. I think he's 100% on the level. So you killed your first woman.
When was the last time you killed?
It's been a few months.
Right.
Actually, it's been going on a year.
Hmm.
You're like the Boston Strangler, man. Maybe I should option your story. So, what do you think you're going to do? Do you think you're going to kill yourself? Do you think that,
are you going to kill again?
Can you stop this?
If I killed myself, I'd miss the next Batman movie.
Right. You don't want to do that?
No.
I'd actually kill myself to miss
that. Why would you want to stay for that?
No, but in all seriousness, I mean, do you think that, you can control this? Do you think you can stop?
I think I have been.
Oh, you have been for the last couple of months?
A year you haven't killed.
Oh, a year?
Yeah.
Almost.
So why do you think you stopped killing all of a sudden?
I really don't know, Howard. I just... Part of it had to do with my car broke down.
Oh,
okay. Seriously? That's the reason?
Well, that was the reason for a month, but after that, I guess it was all self-control.
Wow.
Oh, so you don't want to do this anymore?
Well, he wants to do it, but he's controlling himself. But you want to kill women, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Do you enjoy seeing them struggle as you kill them?
Actually, none of them really struggle.
Do you hit them from behind, or do they see it coming?
I can't get inside their minds, but let's just say I hit them.
But, I mean, are you facing them?
Yeah.
Well, so you can see their face and everything when you do it.
Yeah. The worst I've ever gotten was, one tried to grab my neck. I've never gotten any of the claw marks or anything that are, dead giveaways.
Well, you must be very powerful.
I wouldn't call myself powerful, maybe intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose this method?
I didn't, Robin. Like I told you, I really wanted to cut things up, mail things, send clues.
No, she means, why did you use a hammer? You think you...
Because it was in a book I read.
No, everything was coming from...
Cartoons. Yeah. When's the last time you got laid?
Last week, Howard.
Oh, yeah, so you didn't kill that girl.
No.
Because she wasn't a hooker.
No.
Right.
It's only hookers now.
A lot of serial killers run into hookers because they know, A, probably won't get caught, and B, they have some kind of anger toward hookers. But did you think your mom was a hooker or something?
No, Howard.
Mm.
Your parents married and stay together in the whole thing?
Yeah.
Mm.
Church-going people?
That'll do it.
Well, one of them, but...
Yeah. Religious fanatics give birth to the most serial killers because they're so repressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no way I'm going to talk you into giving yourself up or anything, right?
No.
I shouldn't even waste my time. I know when you get calls out there, some people are going to go, Howard, how come you didn't catch him?
Has anybody ever been close to catching you?
No. No, actually, someone once, when it was in the newspaper, someone joked to me. I know it was you, but, they were joking.
Right.
Yeah.
You think you might be gay?
I hope not.
Maybe you're a repressed homosexual? Mm-hmm. Were you ever molested?
No.
Hmm. Do you have a lot of tattoos?
I don't have any tattoos. I wouldn't do that to myself.
Right.
And do you get high before you do this?
I've gotten pretty drunk before.
Yeah.
Lame. Relax that sphincter. Well, I gotta say, I wish you would die, but, you know, what can I tell you? I maybe this is sort of good that you're talking about it with me, and maybe it'll keep you, like maybe I can get you to turn yourself in.
Val, and you'll be able to go another year.
Yeah, but maybe somehow, you know, you won't do it anymore.
What about your kids? You want them living in a world with people like you?
It doesn't really matter.
Anyway, I mean...
Yeah.
It's kind of lonely, though. You can't tell anybody about this.
I'm the only guy you can... Am I the only guy you've ever told about this?
Yeah.
I guess that's sort of an honor.
I told a couple of women, Howard, but,
You did?
Yeah. Do you tell them first, and then you kill them?
Yeah.
What do you say to them? Let me...
Fun.
All right, let's
every
see.
Now and then you can play the running game if you're out in the middle of nowhere, and we got a lot in the middle of nowhere down here.
Right. So, in other words, let's say you're with a woman, right? A hooker.
Yeah, Howard.
And you say to her, okay, honey, you just had sex and everything. What do you say to her to torment her? How do you break the news to her that she's going to die?
It really depends on my mood.
Just give us an example.
Well, if I wanted to, I could just say Baba Booey, but that would be pretty,
Oh, come on, be serious. What do you say to him?
I can say you're going to die.
And what do they do?
I'd like to articulate a little more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I ask them, if they think it's dangerous doing what they're doing, if they're worried about things, and they'll laugh it off, and that just pisses me off.
Right. And then you go ahead and you kill him.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Well, there you go.
Well, now we've shed no light on it. We don't know how a serial killer is made. We don't know how to catch him.
Well, you know what? All the experts don't know either, so... Well, here's a guy, just another story, he's out there.
Well, you know, substantiates my thing. Did you get jealous of Kunanin? Is that why you're talking to her now?
No, actually, I was thinking about writing a musical about Andrew Kunanin, but...
Guy's a comedian, too.
Huh?
Guy's a... Hey, some psychologist on the line. You want to talk to him?
Sure.
I mean, since you're looking for answers.
Sure.
Okay. Let's see, okay, yeah. Robert?
How you doing, Howard?
Hey, man. Go ahead.
Just wondering, how long this guy wet his bed when he was a young boy?
Are you serious, or are you just trying to make a joke?
No, I'm totally serious.
Did you wet your bed when you were a young boy?
No. Didn't do it at all. No.
How about starting fires?
Huh?
How about starting fires?
Sure.
Yep.
You did start fires?
Yep.
How old were you when you...
For people to not get into serial killing, to start fires, wet the bed when they're young. Along with the mutilation of little animals, but he said he didn't do that, so...
Right.
That's kind of something that was missing.
The fires was in your history, right?
You could say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of, it starts off as external ways of showing off their anger, and then they move on and go on to bigger and better things, I guess.
I wonder why this guy kills. Do you have any, guess?
I don't know. I think you're right on with something with his family, his childhood.
Yeah, what are you so angry about?
Right.
Well, unfortunately, he's real angry, and he's, out there hurting a lot of innocent women.
Yeah, what do I do with the guy with this? Just hang up and forget about it, or is there anything I can...
Depends on, I mean, what do you... Howard, what are you going to do? Of course, you're not going to, like, turn him in, but...
Well, I mean, I would, but I can't.
A lot of people would want to turn him in, but what can you do? You talk to him, try and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, all right. That's right. Then I'll probably just hang up. Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot,
Howard. All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mr. Serious Killer.
You
want to give us your name?
I know I'm not going to get him to turn himself in. I've had calls from people go, well, why didn't you do something? I go, well, what am I supposed to do? The guy's on the phone.
Call through the phone and get him?
Yeah. They're like, well, why don't you trace these calls? And they go, I don't have that equipment.
Yeah, what are we, the police?
I can't even get a phone system that works for air. I don't want a tracing thing. Oh, Jackie's back there, mom, now.
First, I wouldn't buy it. Now I think I'd buy it.
Yeah, I'd buy it.
Well,
I'd
get that guy. That's the offhand attitude that you have to have to be a serial killer.
I'd buy it.
When I said Baba Booey, I was hoping he was going to break it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was too jackass.
Right.
He snapped my back, you know.
Yeah. No, I think he was a real deal. Telling the truth. Okay, Tom, you're on the air.
Okay. So, you've heard that.
I did. I listened to it after you sent it to me. And to tell you the truth, I was very, very confused because I didn't... You just sent it to me. Like, there's no information with it. And
you had no context.
At first, I thought that it had happened, like, I believe the link you sent me had been posted like October of last year.
Maybe,
and
yeah.
I was like, okay, so, and then I was just very confused because, in the context of the call, this is 1997, around then, not 2020. And so obviously that shifts research substantially because I immediately start listening to what the guy is saying and start, you know, trying to put it all together and figure out who his victims are and all. And so obviously I started thinking it was from last year.
Oh, I gotcha.
So I wasted some time. And then finally, I was so confused there. And I saw somebody wrote on the link that you sent me, and it said, like, thanks, I hadn't heard this in years. And I was like, well, is it like an urban legend joke? And then when I finally got through some of the discussion, I realized that it was just a repost and that it was originally posted in 1997. And from there, I was able to do a little more research on it.
Yeah. So the conversation took place in 1997, and then somebody dug it out of the archives and put it up there, but it doesn't really get a YouTube life for a number of years.
Well, sure, because it happened really before. And it looks like it keeps, somebody was talking about it keeps getting pulled down.
Yeah, it goes up and it gets pulled down for copyright claims. I am going to go ahead and say that like most of what I use audio-wise here is covered under fair use because I'm commenting, changing, reviewing, critiquing, something related to it. So pretty much everything we do, pretty much everything that we're doing is covered under fair use, and it's reviewed by someone who lets me know when I've stepped into territory. And I've done that. I've stepped into territory where it's like not fair use. But a lot of like what I everything that you hear on True Crime Excess is either covered under fair use or specifically licensed and we're granted permission to use it. This is fair use because this has become somewhat of it's a little bit of a phenomenon that people like to talk about. So the legend goes, and you can confirm this in some sources if you start Googling for it, but it's also very muddy waters, that the FBI requested the full recording beginning with the start of this call from Howard Stern and the clip that you just heard talking to Clay, who claims to be a serial killer from the New Orleans area. And, he gets pretty specific talking about some of the neighborhoods down there. And one of the things that they wanted the information for was because he references, you wouldn't know this now, but back then it was a huge deal. They had a police officer that they suspected of some of this who matched the description of a couple of the last known people that some of these victims were seen with. His name is Victor Gant. This was not public information at the time. Not only was it not public information, Victor Gant from the New Orleans Police Department, when this went up, would have still been working, from what I can tell. So he would have been suspended at the moment. This is how Gant's story goes down, and you can't find out a lot about him. I have been able to find where he is now and what he's been doing, but Victor Gant was a police officer employed by the New Orleans Police Department, and he had permanent status in the civil service system. He was first hired in 1980. So he worked for the city of New Orleans beginning in February of 1980 as a garage attendant, and by 1993, he had been promoted to the level of police officer 4. And a letter dated August 24th, 1996, which is just before this, from the superintendent, Richard Pennington, at the time, Gant had been terminated from his position for violating various police department rules following 4 separate internal investigations. He appealed his dismissal to what's called the Civil Service Commission. The matter was assigned to a mediator and a hearing examiner pursuant to their local rules and the Louisiana state constitution. A hearing was held March 12th and then reconvened on May 7th of 1997, so just before this call. Nothing was made public at this time. On October 22, 1997, the hearing examiner issued a written report to the commission recommending that the charges against Gant be dismissed, and the police department was found to have failed to establish violation of any departmental rules that warranted disciplinary action. So my point is, at the time of this call, Gant is a police department employee. He is linked to some of what this caller is talking about. But the fact that this caller knows he was either closely following these cases or he was attempting to insert himself into these cases, because this information that I'm about to tell you had not been made public. So Gant was born in sometime around 1962. He had been working for the city since 1980, like I said, but he had moved up through the ranks to become a police officer. He did not start out as a police officer. He started out working the city parking garage. 1991, there was a serial killer that began murdering mostly prostitutes, primarily in the Algiers neighborhoods. From what police can determine, they believe that this particular killer had 24 victims. For a whole year, from 1991 into 1992, the police department had started to become aware of the killings possibly being related, but they did not alert the local media until they started to request assistance from the public, and that was in 1995. Between 1995 and 1997, Gant became a suspect in the murders of two of the women who were killed of the 24. The reason he was a suspect in the middle of all of this insanity is actually related to two cases from 1995. One of the people was a girlfriend of Gant's named Sharon Robinson, who worked at a local casino down there. She and a friend of hers, a 30-year-old prostitute named Karen Iverster, they were found in a swamp near Interstate 55 on April the 30th. However, Gant was not charged, and he stayed on the force. He submitted blood and tissue samples to police detectives at the time. But at this point, nothing was disclosed of his fate. And when I say that, like, it wasn't disclosed then, and it has not been disclosed now, beyond what I read you from the personnel records that I pulled, because that's all that's available, is he eventually leaves the police department. He goes elsewhere, works elsewhere. So we don't know if there was any kind of DNA match to those two murders.
So it just went nowhere.
That went nowhere. So
not convicted, not exonerated.
Yeah, so there's 22 other victims. We don't know if he matches any of the DNA related to that. And it should be noted that in 1992, after the first six murders had taken place, there was a sketch circulated, and it described a large, muscular African-American man in his 30s, which sort of matched Gant's physical description. So whoever this was targeting prostitutes who he incapacitated by drugging them before killing them in a variety of ways. Most of the ways involve strangulation or suffocation. Sharon Robinson and Karen Iverster, it's unknown exactly how they were murdered, but I'm going to read off a list here just so we have it. This is from 1991 to 1996. This is considered to be the list of victims. All right. So July of 1991, Brenda, who, this is a pseudonym for her, by the way, is abducted, strangled, and left for dead. She survives. August 4th of 1991, 17-year-old Danielle Britton is beaten and strangled. September 3rd of 1991, 21-year-old Tierra Tassin is killed by unknown causes. September 21st of 1991, Charlene Prince, who was 28 years old, is beaten and strangled. On November 21st of 1991, Regina Oka, who is 37, she has a dual cause of death, which is she was in a cocaine overdose as she was strangled. They have a Jane Doe from December 14th, 1991. I don't know if she's been identified yet, but I originally had her on my list as a Jane Doe. She was thought to be 20 years old. 1992, Lydia Madison is 29. She was killed by unknown causes on January the 4th. And then, either by strangulation or smothering, on June the 2nd, George Williams, who is 25 years old, is killed. And that plays heavily into this phone call we just listened to. And then on July 25th, Noah Filson, who is 33 years old, is killed by unknown causes. And then on September 21st, Regatta Martin, who is 29, is killed by unknown causes. Going into 1993, we have Cheryl Lewis, who is 30 years old. On February the 20th, she's strangled. And then on February the 20th, Cheryl Lewis, who is 30, is strangled. And then on February 21st, Dolores Mack, who is 42, she is strangled in a similar manner to Cheryl Lewis. So in 1994, we have about seven victims. So February 5th, we have a Jane Doe. And I need to confirm, because one of these has been identified, but I don't know which one. There's a Jane Doe between the ages of 25 and 35 who's raped and strangled. And on February the 10th, there's a Jane Doe who's thought to be under the age of 18 who's asphyxiated. February the 13th, there's Stephanie Murray. She was 25 years old. She was killed by unknown causes. February the 15th, there's a Jane Doe that's 25 to 35 who's killed by unknown causes. And then there's a couple on April 2nd, John and Jane Doe, both killed by unknown causes. On July 3rd, Michelle Foster, who is 32, is killed by unknown causes. And rounding out 1994, on October the 19th, is Stephanie Brown, who is 29. She was killed by unknown causes. So then we move into the 1995 victims. January the 22nd, we have Wanda Ford, who is 29. January 23rd, we have Sandra Warner, who is 39. Both were killed by unknown causes. January the 25th, we have Henry Calvin, who is 24 years old, killed by unknown causes. March the 24th, we have Linda DiBenedetto, killed by unknown causes. And then April 30th, as previously mentioned, was Sharon Robinson, who is 28 years old, and Karen Iverster, who is 30 years old. So Karen Iverster is a friend of Sharon Robinson's, who is the girlfriend of Gant. Okay, so May 6th, Sandra Williams, who's 39, she is strangled. And then the next murder affiliated with this is April 8th, 1996. So this is Lola Porter, who was 39, died by unknown causes. All of these are considered, it's weird that they linked all of this in the first place. And New Orleans is definitely a place I believe they might have covered up if it turned out to be a police officer. Believe it or not, this is not the most fascinating thing for me in New Orleans. This is just the one that we're talking about today, because we'll talk about my fascination in a second. Now, who people think is the murderer is a guy named Russell Elwood. Obviously, he is not Victor Grant. If you Google him or go to Murderpedia, you will see that Russell Elwood is just your, you know, average white dude.
I feel like that we need to clarify a couple of things. The list of victims, the list of victims that you just read, they are, for whatever reason, in some capacity, thought to have been possibly victims of Victor Grant.
Gant.
Thought to be victims of Victor Gant. Victor Gant, however, has not been even charged, I think, with any of these murders. So he, you know, for all we know, he's gone off into the sunset. But the location of the murders of the victims you read coincides with the call that was called into the radio show. And people have associated that call with it's a man who calls himself Clay with as being Russell Elwood.
Right. So you want to take, I mean, do you want to take a crack at Russell Elwood, or you want me to read through like what he,
I can talk about Russell Elwood. He is a suspected serial killer and one of the top two suspects, which the other one would be Victor Gant, of a series of slayings of local women in New Orleans, Louisiana during the 90s. There's very little known about Elwood's early life other than he was born in Massillon, Ohio, and he served time in Ohio and Florida for drug charges and probation violations. He moved to New Orleans, Louisiana, and entering the state, he was arrested for traffic charges, and I'm not entirely sure what that means, but I don't know if it was drug trafficking or just literally like driving problems. But he eventually found a job as a freelance photographer, but quit for some reason, and then became a taxi driver. He used his own vehicle as his home when he couldn't afford to live at a boarding house. So he had a really rough time. And then at some point in his life, he inherited $15,000 from his mother, but he ended up losing it in bad investments. So he was born in 1951, I believe. For unknown reasons, it's thought that Russell Elwood started killing, and his first confirmed victim being Cheryl Lewis. He drugged her and drowned her in a canal on sometime between February 1st and 3rd of 1993. Afterwards, he dumped her body alongside Louisiana Highway 3160 in Hanville, Louisiana. On February 2nd, Cheryl Lewis was reported missing by her mother, Lillian. Dolores Mack was also killed after being drugged first and then fatally strangled. Lewis and Mack's bodies were found on February 21st and February 22nd, respectively. These two murders were part of a series of killings of at least 26 prostitutes spanning from 1991 to 1996. A year later, a partially undressed Elwood returned to the crime scene of Cheryl Lewis in the middle of the night and was spotted by two off-duty St. Charles Parish deputies. He claimed that he was trying to change the oil in his taxi in a location where no one could see him dumping the dirty oil outside. The deputies didn't find any motor oil, oil changing supplies, oil filters, or brake pads in Elwood's taxi, but they let him go. This act would be the factor to his arrest in 1997, 2 years after a task force investigating the New Orleans killings was formed. The task force classified Elwood as a suspect based on like the fact that he had an encounter with the police and then a weird excuse for why he was out there. And they say partially dressed. I'm not entirely sure what that means, but it was weird. When Colonel Walter T. Gorman and other members of the task force approached Elwood in Sebring, Florida, he was stated to be cooperative and claimed that he had dreamed of the moment that he was interrogated by a serial killer task force. Also, one of Elwood's acquaintances from a Florida jail confirmed to investigators that Elwood had once told him that he enjoyed having sex with drugged persons who were completely unable to control their bodies as a result of the induced effects of the drugs. However, he was cleared of any involvement. This is not the best thing to read from, I realize. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. So that covers like a lot of how we get here, by the way. There are multiple articles that sort of read like that.
It's very confusing. So essentially, we've got all these people being killed in the 90s in Louisiana, and then they've Victor Gant, the police officer, and then just by, it seems like pure happenstance, Russell Elwood gets put on the map. So I imagine even though they're prostitute murders or whatever, the number of victims is really piling up.
It's staggering. It is absolutely staggering.
So they've got to do something right now. I found it really interesting, but I don't know if you want me to go first or if you want to go first.
Okay, so first of all, I don't think it's Victor on the phone call.
No way.
No, I mean, so what I get from the phone call is it's like a 30s to 40s average white dude. That's what I get from the phone call.
I actually get younger than that.
Yeah, I was sort of hedging my bets with that. I don't think he's 25, but yeah, I think he could be. I think he could be younger. This is my point. So, first of all, do you think it's real? The phone call.
If it's not real, that guy is a very good voice actor.
I think it's real. And that
I don't know. Like, it's Howard Stern's show is like so unpredictable. It's really hard to tell. Like, but yeah, I listening to it, I believe what the guy's saying.
Okay, so I find mentions of Victor Gant in the media where, depending on when that aired, I could sort of see somebody knowing that Gant was a suspect, but not so. Like, they didn't hide the fact that Gant was a suspect on a couple of murders, but they didn't mention the fact that, like, Gant's like a serial killer suspect. So I think I'll just say, I think at face value, I'm with you. It's either Oscar level voice acting, like that guy should win a Grammy Award for that appearance, or he's completely legit. I think the story is legit, and I think all these unknown causes on this one list of like 20
the hammer.
I think it's the hammer.
Here's the question. Do you think that voice is Russell Elwood?
See, that's where I have a problem.
Because it's a hard no for me.
Have you heard him talk?
No, I don't need to hear him talk. I can look at his face and that's not his voice.
So if
there's other things too, though. Just there's more concrete stuff than I just know, like we were talking about before.
Well, so Russell Elwood has talked a lot to the local media.
He has? Do you have like samples?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was looking to see if I could give you. The way that he talks to them is frequently relayed through like the anchors and reporters, but there is like some jailhouse phone clips that I was looking for, and you know, it's really hard to find them, and I wondered, like, have they removed them all because it's him? Because I just want to talk about him for 1 second, and I'll see if I can find a clip for you. If I can't, because there is a telephone interview somewhere with Russell Elwood, and he would have been in his 40s.
Like he'd been 46.
Yeah.
In 1997, when the phone call was made, he would have been 46 years old.
Yeah. And so in February of 1999, there's a phone call where he shows up talking on the news. And I'm trying to find a clip of that so that you could hear it. But ultimately, he gets convicted of one murder. He gets charged with 3 or 4, but they all get dropped.
Right, he's convicted. So, yeah, this is really important because this is sort of how it went down. Cheryl Lewis, she was drugged and then drowned in a canal sometime between February 1st and 3rd of 1993. And then her body was dumped alongside a Louisiana highway and not found until, I believe, the 21st of February. Okay. So several years later, maybe even more than several. It can't be him.
What do you mean?
On August 4th, 1997, he was arrested on drug charges and was incarcerated for 85 days. He couldn't have made that phone call.
Well, okay. That's why I was saying I can't find the exact time.
Right. So I did find something on something. I can't seem to keep it up, but it says in August of 1997.
Yeah. Well, so he does get arrested in August 1997. That's correct. At that time, Jefferson Parish Sheriff Henry Lee believed that he had killed 15 people. And he said that authorities on the task force, which this task force has its own miniseries going on, because this task force comes together, it disbands, it comes back together, they fight with each other, the state authorities are fighting with the local authorities are fighting with the federal authorities. They say, during this time, even though there's no other charges that have ever been made, no other arrests, that they're looking for 4 other suspects. And this is when they, like, so at one point in time, they run down one of the murders. They file on him. They get really close to taking it to trial. And ultimately, the investigators doing their job discover that Elwood was actually in Ohio when this woman was killed in Louisiana.
The woman he was convicted for, or just one of the ones that was dropped?
One of the ones that just ends up being dropped. But okay. The sheriff's departments involved say that they're going to re-examine the case only if new information is presented. So there ends up being a total of 26 victims in this whole thing. There are mostly women with histories of drug abuse and prostitution. It is noted, I know you guys heard me read the list, some of those names sound male, they're birth names. So some of these people are transgender. Some were strangled, others apparently died of drug overdoses. The end result of all of this is we have no idea who killed all these women in the 90s.
Right, and they're listed under, they suspect Victor Gant as the perpetrator, and now based on the phone call into Howard Stern, everyone being the internet, thinks that it was Russell Elwood. And so going back to what I was saying about it, that actually means that on August 4th, 1997, when Russell Elwood was arrested and he was held in jail for 85 days, he could not have made that phone call.
Okay, so this is part one.
That's a huge deal, right?
This is part one of this. And what we're going to do now is this episode is going to release on its own. We're going to do a little work, and we're going to come back with part two about this serial killer. Thank you for joining us. We are sponsored by LabbrotiCreations.com. You can check them out at LabbrotiCreations.com, and you can still use the code CRIMEXS for a fun pop pet portrait of your own pet. You can also reach us on Twitter, Instagram, at TrueCrimeXS, or you can give us a call if you know anything about any of the cases that we're talking about at 252-365-5593. You can also reach us at Gmail at TrueCrimeXS@gmail.com, and you can check out our website at www.TrueCrimeXS.com. We'll see you next time.
The editing on this gets super complicated, but the reason is because so much misinformation is out there, and people look at these cases and they throw them away. Like Meg said, these are sex worker murders. The police literally classify them as prostitute murders. And what we realized in this was this situation was unique in the way that it went into the media and the way that law enforcement handled it, because they were like, this is a rare occasion. You can even hear it referenced on Criminal Minds. This is a rare occasion where two serial killers are operating at the same time. The idea being that one is Victor Gant, one is Russell Elwood. And digging into this, we discover it's so much more complicated than that.
I'm pretty sure I just proved that it's not Russell Elwood.
So this is my theory on all of this, even though we're going
to cover. I thought everybody was attributing it to him.
Well, a lot of people are. But like, what I'm saying is it's never confirmed. It's never confirmed by Howard Stern either.
Well, he doesn't know who it was.
No, he doesn't know who it was. He just knows that it like suddenly was under investigation. So my point is, as we go into this, like if it's not Russell Elwood, I'm not super shocked by that.
It's not him.
Here's my other thinking. So I think that the reason they couldn't go after Gant is because of Elwood. The reason they couldn't go after... So they couldn't go after Gant because Elwood exists. They can't really go after Elwood because Gant exists and he's like the perfect defense. But my thinking on all of this was, what if they missed a killer and that guy's just wandering around? Or, like, it's like this weird situation where, like, he got hit by a car or something.
Who?
The Clay guy.
That's possible, but, okay, so I'm very sure that Victor Gant is not the voice on the phone. I'm positive of that.
Yeah.
I'm also very sure that Russell Elwood is not the voice on the phone, and then it seems like just sort of randomly, that is corroborated by the fact that if it was his voice on the phone, they should have been able to trace that call because he was in custody. I came to the city as a cyclone, and my love feel like a
Thank you.